absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Did you hear about the World Cup that was played in the USA? Hey, don't switch off. I promise that you won't hear anything about the quality of the referees, the value of VAR, or the offside rule. What you will hear, if you listen carefully, is about a positive, playful tribe and a Scottish fan whose curiosity and willingness to interact gives him endless intercultural insights. Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural, show number 322. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. If you're listening, then you already found us on absolutely-intercultural.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. In this show, we're going to hear from John Brodie in Inverness, Scotland, who is the closest thing you could come to a professional Scottish football fan, and that has taken him to all sorts of different places outside of the UK. However, Scottish football fans are very different, so different that their stay in Boston made the news globally. Here's how John summed it up.
So, yeah, from the alcohol to the traffic cones, yeah, I think the Scots were very well received in Boston.
Going to the USA raised the issue of how to tackle sensitive topics. Here's John's strategy.
We spoke to a lot of people in New York about things in their country. We never brought the subject up, ever, because you can't. You don't know who you're speaking to.
This was the first time since 1998 that Scotland had qualified to play in the World Cup, which was why John and his fellow Scottish supporters were so determined to see their team play in the USA. Let's start by going absolutely tartan to find out more about the Tartan Army, as the Scottish fans are known.
The Tartan Army is basically another name for the Scotland fans who travel, in particular abroad, to all the away games or all the tournaments that Scotland get involved in. Not that we've had that many tournaments to get involved in, but...
What would that be?
Well, that's because we're not very good at. So whenever Scotland play away, the Tartan Army follow them. And it's probably more well-known abroad than it is actually in Scotland. The Tartan Army, they'll wear the kilts and they'll play the bagpipes and just make their presence known in a very friendly way in whichever country they go to. Part of the Tartan Army also generally raise money for groups wherever they go. For instance, I was in Kiev before all the trouble started, of course, and the Tartan Army raised money for local kids. You know, they'd have a football game and people would sponsor the game and they'd be playing local people and they would raise money. And they do that wherever they go, whichever country they go to. They will raise money for local charities.
Places that you've been to, apart from the US this year?
Well, yeah, where haven't I been at? Yeah, the Ukraine was probably the most unusual, but Lithuania, Estonia, Sweden, oh gosh, yeah, all over the place. Liechtenstein, that was a lovely little place. They had a castle on a hill.
Yeah.
And I do remember McDonald's was about £25, but Liechtenstein was fantastic. Spain, Portugal, just everywhere. But to answer your question, yes, the Tartan Army, it's just a lot of fun and it's just Scotland fans being daft.
So do you wear the uniform?
There is no uniform, man. The uniform would really be the kilt.
Yes.
Of course, the kilt is very iconic in Scottish society. We all have our own tartan. The kilt, it kind of looks the same if you don't really know what you're looking for, as I'm sure you're aware. It's just squares, crisscross squares, but different colours. So I know what my colours are, being a Brodie, but lots of other people, McPherson, McDonald, whatever, will have their own tartan. So the uniform would be the kilt and a Scotland top, maybe some hiking socks and some hiking boots.
Mm-hmm.
Ideal for hot conditions. All you do is sweat. It's a beautiful sight.
Now let's hear from our man on the inside, about what it feels like to be a Scottish football fan in Boston. Was it all as good-natured as the press made out? Let's go absolutely dry.
I went to the US for the World Cup finals. Scotland miraculously made it through, and we were playing three games in the States, two in Boston and one in Miami. My friend and I based ourselves for 10 days in New York City. We had a fantastic time. We were going to get the train from New York City up to Boston, but it's quite a journey, but it's far too expensive. It's ridiculous. All the prices for the World Cup, and I'm sure in Denmark you heard about it, the prices were nuts. And I didn't get any tickets for any Scotland games. They were just crazy money, about £1,000, probably 1,100 euros, you know, each. So, no, too much. So we decided very wisely for the first game to get the 6 a.m. Greyhound bus from New York City, from the Port Authority building in New York City. Bearing in mind, I'm sure we had one or two refreshments the evening before. So we had to walk from the hotel in Manhattan to the Port Authority bus depot, which is massive. It's three stories. You know, it's New York. So, you know.
Yeah.
But we'd actually gone the day before to check where the bus went from, because we wouldn't have found it on the day. You know, oh yeah, we'll leave ourselves 5 minutes to go to the bus station. Not in New York. So we got there. We knew where we were going. We got there about 10 to 6. And the Greyhound bus was in position. And it's iconic, isn't it? And the bus driver was a very small woman. She was about 5 feet nothing. And she was very kind of right, you know, in your face. And she said, yeah, right, get on. Show me your ticket. Right, get on. And we were due to leave at 6. But somebody on the bus, right, is half full of Scotland fans doing the same as we were doing, going up to Boston. But one woman was on the bus. And she said, oh, no, my partner, he's just coming. And she was from Scotland. And of course, we all know why he was late, because he slept in. And he was running to get the bus. And the woman driver was raging. And she was shouting at him, get on this bus now. You've made me late. And, oh, that's a good start to the trip. Anyway, we made it eventually to Boston 4.5 hours later on a Greyhound bus, and the air conditioning packed in 2 hours from Boston. So bearing in mind, it was pretty hot, you know. Anyway, we got off very sweaty. We'd taken our kilts, but we hadn't traveled in them, which I think was a very wise thing not to do. We just had shorts. So at Boston, we changed into the kilt, which is fine. And then made our way to the kind of older city centre. Boston's beautiful. And we joined thousands of other Scotland fans in Boston. And we had a bit of a time. The Scots fans were everywhere. I mean, just everywhere. It was fantastic. The atmosphere was amazing. Very, very friendly. And I went into a pub, into a bar, as they call them. And who did I bump into? A guy that I see at the Inverness Caledonian Thistle Games, Dougie. And so I'm chatting away to him. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? You know, you're half a world away. But it was full of Scots. It was an amazing atmosphere. And then a lot of the fans went off to Foxborough Stadium in Boston. But of course, it's not in Boston. The stadium was 30 miles out of town. They call it the Boston Stadium, the Foxborough Stadium. It's where the New England Patriots play. But it's miles away. And of course, in the US, Anne, there's no public transport. They don't have any. Mm. It's the car. Everything's about the car. It's bonkers, you know. You've just got to take the car. But fortunately, we weren't going to the stadium. We just went to the fan zone area. I'd bought tickets for that in advance, and so that was fine. But it was an amazing experience in the fan zone, because the atmosphere was fantastic. We were playing Haiti that night, that world-renowned footballing nation. We scraped a 1-0 win. But of course, we weren't staying in Boston. Mm. But even if we had wanted to stay in Boston, the prices were crazy. And you're paying $300, $400 a night because it was a World Cup. They had a captain market. So in our wisdom, we'd already decided to get the 2 a.m. Greyhound bus back to New York City. Now, we'd been up since 5 o'clock in the morning to get the Greyhound bus to Boston. We'd had a very pleasant time in Boston. And then Mark and I, my friend, we got to the bus station. We thought we better get there in good time because we'll have to find it. And some locals were, they kind of pointed the way. And we got there at 1 o'clock, fell asleep, and woke up as they were boarding the bus. Kind of slept way back. But when we got back to New York City, it was about 6:30 in the morning. The New York Knicks had won the basketball championship. Now, we don't really know anything about basketball. I don't, anyway. But this was a huge deal for them. Massive. They hadn't won the World Series, as they call it, for 50 years. So we arrived the morning after the celebrations from the night before. It was carnage. I've never seen a city like it. It was just absolute carnage. There was rubbish everywhere and still people kind of doddering about. You know, they were clearly the worst for wear. But all fine. We didn't know. Then we found out. So it was like something from, you know, some kind of horror movie and all this kind of rubbish everywhere. But they were cleaning it up pretty sharp, I must say. So we walked into the hotel at about 7 a.m., had some breakfast and went to bed. So that was Boston. But we're only there for the day, Anne, but it was a lovely city. What a time to be there when your team's in the World Cup. It's amazing.
Well, the press all over the world made a lot about the Scottish fans in Boston. So yeah. Did what they say match any of what you experienced?
Yeah, pretty much. The head of Budweiser, apparently, he thanked the Scotland fans for consuming vast amounts of his beverage, or his alcoholic beverage. So much so that apparently the Scottish fans consumed more and spent more on alcohol than they do over the St. Patrick's weekend in Boston. Of course, that's massive over there, the St. Patrick's day, weekend, whatever. In fact, he was so pleased with the profits generated that when a lot of the Scottish fans had gone to the baseball game, the Boston Red Sox games, between either before or after the game that we played against Haiti, and they generated a really, really good atmosphere. And the Boston Red Sox chairman said he'd never seen an atmosphere like it at a Red Sox game. And could they please all come back? So they did go back. And when they went back, the head of Budweiser gave them all a free beer.
Wow.
Because the profits had been so great over the time they've been there. So, yeah, they pretty much did match up. And we spoke to a lot of Scotland fans, of course, over the piece. And they said, yeah. But Boston was very open to the Scotland fans. The Scotland fans also have a thing about putting traffic cones on anything. So, you know, the orange and white ones. I don't know if you got those in Denmark as well, kind of orange and white for roadworks and all that kind of stuff. So people had taken these traffic cones. Well, they were inflatable. You could buy them online. So there were hundreds that Scottish fans had taken over, and they put them on everything. They put them on every statue in Boston. They put them just anywhere. And the Bostonians, they kind of liked that. So because, again, it was a very silly but friendly thing, you know. So the Boston people took to the Scots, yeah. You know, the stories that came out of people meeting up and all that kind of thing, you know, it was lovely. It was really, really nice. So, yeah, from the alcohol to the traffic cones, yeah, I think the Scots were very well received in Boston.
We've been hearing about what it feels like to be part of a tribe and how that can lead to positive vibes in places far from its home patch. But what happens when the game is over? In our final segment, Absolutely Curious, we'll hear how John's willingness to engage with the people around him led to more understanding on an individual level.
We spoke to a lot of people in New York about things in their country. We never brought the subject up ever because you can't. You don't know who you're speaking to. But I must say, most of the New Yorkers were not happy with the way things were going. Let's say that. Because New York is a multicultural society and it's full of immigrants. Yeah. And all the people we met were great. You know, as long as you're polite and pleasant to people, you know, we were on the subway coming back from, I think Mark and I went out to Coney Island, which is great. And New York is just full of people who have immigrated there for 101 different reasons. But coming back from Coney Island, we're on the subway. We're chatting to this Puerto Rican couple because they had the Puerto Rican flags. And we'd seen people all day with kind of Puerto Rican gear, you know, maybe a handbag with a flag hanging out of it, or be it a guy with a flag around his, but all Puerto Rican. And so we're on the subway and I was next to two and I said, look, what's going on? You know, what's all this about? I said, is it something to do with your national day? And she said, well, yeah, kind of. The woman who was tiny was very nice and she chatted away. But then we got off the subway and then we were walking out. And then I got this tap on the shoulder. Now, you're in a New York subway. And you think, whoa. But it was the woman. And she said, no, I don't think you understood me. She said, it's not a national day. It's not a national holiday in Puerto Rico or anything like that. She said, we are celebrating our culture, specifically in New York City. So that was really interesting. She said, we're very proud of our culture and what we've contributed to New York as a city, as have, I'm sure, hundreds of other groups. So that was interesting. It wasn't quite what I thought it was. Yeah. And you wanted to put me straight, you know. Yeah. So that was really nice. You thought, yeah, she's proud of, you know, clearly very proud of her standing and her status as an immigrant or of immigrant families from Central and South America, which you see a lot of course, in New York. So that was very interesting. Yeah. I think life is what you make it, Anne. And you know, if you're polite and pleasant, then you'll get some idiots. But I think most people will, you know, say hi and have a chat with you.
Yeah.
So we certainly found that in New York and in Boston. And when I went down to with my family to North Carolina, the people down there were lovely. Very gentle. Very generous. So, you know, it's the people, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Funnily enough, I met a guy over there who I'd met about a year ago, and I took him to Corey Charlotte Gorge just outside Ullapool. And he gave me his email and he said, look, if you're in New York City, well, I said, as a matter of fact, him and his wife had an apartment overlooking the East River, overlooking Roosevelt Island. I mean, the guy must, you know. And we had to get into the apartment, two guys on the door.
Yeah.
And then there was a guy behind a desk. So, you know, who phoned up. Oh, I've got John and Mark here to see you, Mr. So-and-so. Yep, show them up. Took us to the top. What a view. So,
wow.
I don't think he was short of a bob or two, man.
No.
Lovely. I mean, how nice, you know, how generous to say, look, come up for a cup of coffee or whatever.
Yeah, that is really nice.
And we got the insiders. He was a New Yorker, so he'd born and bred.
So this tells us that intercultural encounters don't always require formal programs or structured exchanges. Sometimes all it takes is a shared passion, a playful attitude, and the courage to talk to strangers. And suddenly a football tournament becomes a masterclass in curiosity, connection, and cultural learning. So, did the World Cup catch you up in its atmosphere? Did you make new friends at the public screenings? Or are you just glad that it's all over? We would love to hear your stories. Leave a comment on our website at absolutely-intercultural.com. Send us an email or reach out if you would like to be a guest. Don't forget that we're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can give us a rating. And if you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Laura Borgmann in Germany on the 2nd of October. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.